breaking news as it happens. You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio.
Where on Tuesdays, we take some time to chat with Carol Markowitz of the New York Post. I believe one of the most important columnists in the country. She's always making you think and sometimes surprising you in how well she does that, actually, to get you to think differently. But she's back with us, and Carol, always appreciate you being here. Follow her on Twitter, by the way, at K-A-R-O-L. A cool Twitter handle for people that even still have Twitter handles. Anyway, Carol, it's good to have. I'm not bitter.
Thank you, Kevin.
Hey, you were just telling me off the air that got the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, that was the vaccine of choice. And I'm guessing you probably went with that one because it was only one shot as opposed
to two. That's right. Yeah. Yeah, my husband and I waited for the Johnson & Johnson, actually, because we wanted to have just one quick shot and not have to wait 3 weeks to get a second shot. And then, you know, of course, a few weeks after that, before you become, you know, somewhat immune to COVID. So we wanted to get it done and be kind of a month ahead of the game, if not
and
more.
And you didn't have any adverse issues with it at all?
No, we didn't have anything at all. But I think people need to understand that vaccines and all different kinds of medicines have side effects. And this is, you know, kind of maybe the opportunity to discuss risk, which I know we're not going to do because we've decided in the last year that we don't pay any attention to risk, you know, actual numbers. And it's really unfortunate to see everybody from the Biden administration on down completely disregarding what the actual numbers are of these risks. So we have 6 cases of blood clotting out of millions of vaccines distributed. So, you know, I think we're going to find out. I mean, all the cases appear to be young women, women under the age of, I think, 48. I think we're going to maybe see that it's tied to other medications that they take. And I think, you know, this is the kind of thing that we need to be talking about and saying, look, everything in life is a risk. Taking the vaccine is a risk. Not taking the vaccine is a risk. You need to make the calculation for yourself.
Yeah. Well, and instead of just ending the vaccination process altogether for the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, that's what your argument is?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think people are going to die because we're not distributing this vaccine. We're not getting shots into arms because of an extremely low number of people who had this bad side effect. I mean, again, I don't want to make any kind of assumptions, but my assumption would be that these women are on birth control pills, which are tend to have a higher level of blood clotting as a side effect. I mean, far, far higher than these numbers. And yet people are given those pills all the time, right? So I think it's just the risk factor needs to be weighed, and Americans need to understand risk. And I think I would love to see that be the result of this insanity. At least we would have some concept of risk taking.
I'm going to bring that up with Dr. Nicole Sapphire on my Radio Night Live show this week, because she has been watching this very carefully. And she's always talking about, look, the vaccines aren't bulletproof. You're still going to have people are still getting COVID. Our own beloved Matt Sambolin here at the station, 2 weeks to the day from getting the Johnson & Johnson, should have been fully protected, got exposed to somebody that had COVID. He got COVID. So they don't even work sometimes in the very thing that they're made to work for, much less prevent all other issues. Very, very low circumstance, number of times that it's happened. But anyway, well, along those lines, you take on a very interesting topic in your column this week, because you ask a question about the hysterics of COVID for normal children and normal lives. And if there's been one thing that my bride has been, I don't know, in hyper anxiety about over the last few weeks, it's been that these kids are never going to get normal lives back. Is that
right?
Your assessment? You believe that that's kind of what it is?
I mean, I'm absolutely afraid of that as well. I think that we're heading in a direction where people are saying, okay, look, you get the vaccine, you go back to your regular life, but the kids don't have a vaccine. And the fact is, Kevin, and this is the main thing that I want people to take away, they don't need a vaccine because the risk to them of COVID is so tiny. And okay, yes, they probably will develop a vaccine for kids eventually. But the reason that they didn't do it right away, the reason that they didn't lead with a vaccine for kids, is because kids do not have largely bad results from COVID. And, you know, you've had Senator Ron Johnson last spring say that kids are a greater risk, not last spring, in the fall, that they're a greater risk of the flu than they are of COVID. And that's right. Absolutely correct. More kids die of the flu than have died of COVID-19. And that is, you know, a fact. And we don't keep them locked in their homes during flu season. We don't keep them in masks on the soccer field during flu season. So I'm very worried that we are going to continue to do crazy things. We haven't been sane about this at all. Kids have been locked out of schools. They've, you know, I watched my daughter pitch on a pitcher mound, you know, dozens of feet away from anybody, and yet wearing a mask. And it's hard to let go of that insanity. And I'm afraid that people won't be able to do it.
Well, and I think it's also one thing if it's government telling us to do it. It's another thing for people that have been adversely impacted by all of this to continue to do it. And my own philosophy is, look, you don't want to go to church where they have no masks. You don't want to be on a sports team where they have no masks. You don't want to participate in public where largely mask-free living is going on. You're certainly entitled to that. You don't, number one, have to be a part of any of those things. Number two, you can also choose to voluntarily wear your own mask, which theoretically, Carol, we were told that does more to protect me than people right. around me, right? So
right,
if I'm concerned, if I'm immune compromised, for example, and maybe I have a really good reason to not be in a place where a lot of germs are at, maybe I don't do all that stuff anyway, but at the very least, I can wear my own mask, and it doesn't put all that pressure on everybody else around me to feel like they've got to conform just to take care of me.
Yeah. Well, going back to the risk conversation here, you know, the thing is that kids in like I saw kids playing sports in Florida without masks on. And why wouldn't we compare the number of kid cases in places where they wear masks versus where they don't wear masks?
Yeah.
But you never see that comparison. You never hear that conversation. You're never like, oh, kids in Florida got COVID at the same rate as kids in New York, despite kids in New York being heavily masked all the time. So what, you know, what is causing this? Why do we continue to do something that doesn't work? And, you know,
well,
we
even
never
beyond
have that,
that
conversation.
Dr. Fauci's asked this week, you know, Texas went maskless a few weeks ago. They've had zero uptick and he had no answer for it.
Right. And meanwhile, Michigan, which is, you know, was one of the tougher lockdown states, was a state where Governor Whitmer wouldn't let you buy seeds to grow food because that was somehow going to cause COVID. Yet they somehow have a really serious uptick of COVID cases. And again, no rhyme or reason, no look at the risk, no consideration of what that can be. You know, Walensky, the head of the CDC, is back to saying they need new lockdowns. And no, we won't be shipping them more vaccine doses. They just need to lock down. And it's hard to watch people suggest the same things over and over again that haven't worked. And yet that's where we are.
Well, I certainly don't think that there's any reason at all why every school district in America cannot be open in September. We, you know, even here in the very blue upper northeast, we're going to be, at least in our district, 5 days a week, full classes, not split in half, going every other day, but 5 days. Now, we're not doing the full day yet, but, you know, we've made progress. We're making increments towards
Kevin,
that.
Kevin, fight that. You cannot
have
the half
day. But this is way better. Look, we had kids in class nearly every day of the school year. I had it way better than a lot of people did, so I'm not complaining about that. I'm just saying,
I'll complain for you.
We've got to get this behind us, because once you're vaccinated and you've got teachers vaccinated, there's no reason not to do it. Carol Markowitz in the Post. Will COVID hysterics ever let our children live normal lives? Thank you, Carol, for being with us.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you so much.
Kevin McCullough, come right back.